may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Rick Collins. I represent Ms. Kellogg, the appellant in this case. I'd ask to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
All right.
The parties in this case were married. Prior to their marriage, they had entered into an amended premarital agreement. The relevant portion of the premarital agreement states that Ms. Kellogg was to receive compensation from the marital assets of $5,000 per year of marriage. The parties were subsequently divorced in Gloucester County Circuit Court, and the original premarital agreement, as well as the agreement to amend the premarital agreement, were incorporated into the divorce decree. That divorce decree was a final order, removed it from the docket. Ms. Kellogg restated the case on the court's docket and filed a petition for show cause seeking to find Mr. Green in contempt of court for failure to comply with the provision to pay the $5,000 per year of marriage. Based on the duration of marriage, Ms. Kellogg alleged that she was owed approximately $83,000. There was a hearing on the show cause during which the circuit court found that because of the way that the agreement was drafted, it was insufficiently definitive and dismissed the show cause, holding that a contempt proceeding was not appropriate. At the same time, the order that dismissed the show cause granted leave to amend the final decree of divorce. We have an order that dismisses the show cause, again amending the final decree of divorce. There's also an amended final decree of divorce that corrects a date on the agreement. In addition to that, says that the matter shall remain pending on the docket of the court for the enforcement of the agreements. After the entry of those orders...
So, may I interrupt you there? So the reinstated divorce proceeding never went to a final order?
That is our position. By the plain terms of the amended divorce decree, it remains pending on the docket of Gloucester Circuit Court.
And that's technically true today?
That's technically true today. Kellogg then filed a complaint seeking essentially breach of contract for certainly, we can see, essentially the same argument that she was owed the approximately $83,000 under the amended premarital agreement. Gloucester Circuit Court heard the case and determined that that argument was barred by a res judicata, relying largely on this court's opinion in Lee v. Spoden. The court denied a hearing to reconsider that, entered a final order in that case, which we've appealed to this court, and our position is that the trial court erred by finding that res judicata precluded any adjudication on the merits because the order that dismissed the show cause is not a final order, again, because the amended final decree states that that matter remains pending on the court's docket for enforcement of the agreements. By its plain terms, it's not a final order. I recognize that in a lot of ways, the Lee v. Spoden case is factually similar to this case. That case involved first a contempt proceeding, and then after the contempt proceeding was dismissed, a new breach of contract action that was granted in favor of the plaintiff came up on appeal, and this court held that res judicata barred, precluded the breach of contract case. The important distinction in this case is that we do not have a final order. And while Lee v. Spoden, as I said out in my brief, Lee v. Spoden clearly says that a contempt proceeding can contain the requisite finality, it does not state that all contempt proceedings contain the requisite finality. And there's an important, from page 245 of this court's opinion, it says that Spoden's allegations were actually litigated in the contempt proceeding and the contempt proceeding resulted in a final judgment. It required still the element of finality, and that argument is buttressed by the fact that the two opinions that this court cited in its reasoning, the federal court opinion as well as the state court opinion, this is In re Williams, which is from the federal Fifth Circuit, and In re AS from the Georgia Court of Appeals, both of those, in the opinion, recited the fact that they were dealing with final orders in the underlying case. So our position is that the underlying case remains pending on the docket. It did remain pending at the time of the trial court's order in this case. It was not a final order, and that we should be permitted to proceed on the merits because res judicata does not apply based on the plain meaning of the rule. Thank you.
All right. You want to reserve the rest of your time?
Yes, Your Honor.
It's considerably more than 3 minutes.
Good Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Alan Conrad Fairford III, and I represent the appellee, Christopher Green. And as reiterated by counsel just now, on October the 1st of 2015, the Gloucester Circuit Court did enter a final order in resolution of a show cause hearing. That final order was actually entered on October the 1st, 2015, and that order, plaintiff's motion to show cause, is denied and dismissed as the amended premarital agreement incorporated into the final decree does not express in specific terms the requirements for when, where, or in what form payment of any amount due shall be performed, and therefore show cause proceeding is improper. Procedurally, what happened with this was they filed an affidavit for show cause. I mean, an affidavit to reopen the case. They reopened the divorce proceeding. The show cause was litigated. The day the show cause was litigated, which was September the 16th of 2015, on that day an amended divorce decree was entered by that judge designate, Judge Lerner, I believe it was. 2 weeks later, on October the 1st, a separate order had been prepared by counsel Michael Ware, which was subsequently entered by Judge Lerner after the entry of the amended final decree, which has added the language of the this case shall remain on the docket pending the outcome of the agreement. Now, the original divorce was final on April the 9th, 2015. The affidavit for a motion for show cause was reopened. That divorce proceeding was filed more than 21 or 45 days after the closing. The original decree of divorce said this matter shall be removed from the docket, shall be stricken and removed from the docket. That removed that final divorce decree from the docket. The matter was open with the rule to show cause, which requested leave to administratively change the date of entry of a premarital agreement from 2003 to 2004, I believe it was. But
the order retained jurisdiction, kept it on the docket, and it seems to me the thing I'm not sure that I'm understanding in your argument is a circuit judge handling a contempt show cause for violation of a property settlement agreement. You don't simply issue a contempt on a show cause simply because there's a breach. It's a whole layer of specificity required before you put someone in jeopardy of losing their liberty for breaching some contract. So this judge appeared to me, and tell me if you disagree with what I'm saying, to say, look, it's not specific enough. I'm not willing to put a person's liberty at risk because of a violation of a contract. Now, you may have a contract claim, but I'm not going to hold them in contempt. I question whether that's even on the merits of the underlying contractual case.
Well, when we look at the rule for show cause, which requested the reopening of the divorce proceeding, the first four enumerated paragraphs in that motion stated with specificity what they were seeking. That the parties had been married, they were married on this date, they were seeking 15 and a half years of marriage at $5,000 a year, they wanted X sum of money, $82,000. Exactly that same language was what was used in the contract case. That was what was relied on by the court in reopening the divorce case. The divorce case was reopened. One point I want to make is that the divorce decree was later altered by allowing that divorce decree to remain open following the litigation of the show cause. Now, to directly address your question, I believe, by the language of the order entered on October the 10th, 2015, which denied the motion for show cause, with specificity, that order states plaintiff's motion to show cause is denied. It's denied and dismissed. As the amended final premarital agreement, as the amended premarital agreement incorporated into the final decree does not express in specific terms the requirements for, but by showing that specificity in the order, is the court obviously.
But what I'm trying to say is a marital agreement, a property settlement agreement, a marital agreement can be enforceable in contract without being specific enough to be enforceable in a contempt proceeding. Because you only get to that, which is putting someone in jail until they actually pay the money, when the obligation is so clear that the judicial relief you're asking for is warranted. But if it's not final, and I was the circuit court judge, and all of this came back to me, I'd say, oh, wait, how did this get this far? I dismissed without prejudice the merits of the contractual claim if there ever was before me, but I'm not going to hear the contempt case because it's not clear enough in the agreement what should have been done when. But that's a different question as to whether or not there's a liability, a monetary liability, should be paid.
And I understand the question, and I believe the answer is addressed in Levy's Bowden, where there was a choice of remedies available to the plaintiff when she filed the show cause. She She could have filed a contract claim. She could have filed a show cause. She could have filed a separate cause of action.
I agree with that.
She chose her remedy, and then the matter was fully litigated. The matter was just decided with a final judgment, which did not leave, which was not without prejudice.
But so the contempt was dismissed, but the contempt is not the proceeding. The proceeding is the reinitiated divorce proceeding, and that's not been dismissed. There's no final judgment in the reinstituted divorce proceeding. But am I right or wrong on that?
Well, I believe in looking at this with fresh eyes the other day, that what has been appealed is the February the 13th order denying the rule to the motion to reconsider, which would actually be a different standard of proof, which is did the trial court abuse its discretion in denying the motion to reconsider, but not the actual order which denied and dismissed, which granted the rule of res judicata, which order was entered on January the 12th, 2017. What was it?
No, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the reinstated divorce proceeding in which the contempt show cause was dismissed.
I understand. I can't change the fact. We've actually had a subsequent hearing in the trial court to try to have that matter closed. But
so it's not closed?
It is not closed.
So it's not a final judgment?
The divorce remains open, procedurally, accurately or not. It remains open under grounds to which it was not originally reopened. However, my client's position is that the show cause was fully litigated. The show cause was dismissed and denied by a final order of the trial court, which was appealable under 17.1405. So it may come down to what constitutes a final order.
Well, interlocutory appealable things are exceptions to the final order exception, final order rule, but res judicata requires a final judgment.
Yes, sir. And I don't mean to go in circles, but our position is that, and my client's position is that, the order of October the 1st, which was entered subsequent to the amended divorce decree, which the appellant has relied upon as being remaining open, that was entered on September the 16th, 2015. Subsequent to that, there was another order entered by the circuit court, which is a valid order and was not appealed, which states that the show cause is denied and closed. I mean, the show cause is denied and dismissed. That subsequent order did not order the closure of the underlying divorce claim, which has sat there and done, and there's been no action on that since this matter was decided in 2015. What happens is they file a contract action for another bite at the apple, and that's exactly what my client's position is. It raised your comment to preclude.
Well, if the reinstated divorce proceeding is still live and it's not and the case is not over, why can't they just come back in and say, all right, well, whatever, I'll file my property settlement agreement claim in the reinstated divorce proceeding? Oh, you can't do that. You lost contempt. No, the contempt's a different issue. Why couldn't they do that? And if they could do that in the reinstated divorce proceeding, therefore, logically, res judicata wouldn't prevent them from doing it in some other proceeding.
Because they chose a remedy when they went in, and they chose the remedy of seeking a criminal show cause, and now if it comes to relitigation on equitable distribution or other terms, then the admissible evidence is going to be the fact that this was previously denied, which is going to put the trial court in a quandary as to, well, do I apply that this thing's already been litigated, or do I say that this is fresh? You know, is she? Did the earlier court just decide that she might not be jailable, but did they actually decide that this claim is invalid?
Well, I'm asking myself, what would the judge in the reinstated divorce proceeding think if the contractual claim was asserted one day after the contempt was denied? I think he would think, or she would think, oh, okay, that's the proper way to handle this because I'm not going to do contempt.
Well, and that, I understand the question. But the fact is that this was litigated. They did have their day in court. That's reflected in the court's final order. It gives rationale behind its denial and dismissal of the claim. It's a cause of action that's being precluded. The cause of action is the exact same language that is now in the contract claim, which is the same four enumerated paragraphs in the contract claim, which say these same parties, this same cause of action, have this same claim for the exact same amount of money, and then
but doesn't it have to be decided on the merits? And the show cause was not. The court just basically said there are not enough parameters here for me to hold someone in contempt, signaling, but you may have a contract action.
They could have been in the order, but it wasn't. That could have been in the order dismissing the show cause, but it was not.
It is there because it says, I'm dismissing this because a show cause is improper.
But again, they chose their cause of action. They charged their route.
Let me give you an example, and this is Hopefully it will be helpful. Perhaps it will not be. What if you had a case, just a regular divorce case, where somebody is supposed to have made an equitable distribution payment by April 1st of a particular year? The person issues a show cause, and they issue it on March 29th. And it comes before the court, and the court says, you know what? A show cause is improper because the date hasn't happened yet on which this money is due, and that's for them dismissing the show cause. Under your theory, when the person doesn't pay by that April deadline, it's too late. You know, race judicata bars them from ever refiling another show cause on that particular claim. Do you think the law works that way?
I understand the question, and as I understand the premise is that the earlier action in your example would not have been litigated on the merits.
It has been litigated on the merits because the court has looked at all the parameters of the agreement and they say a show cause is not proper. I can't issue a show cause now because all the requirements that need to be in place in order for me to issue a show cause are not there.
Well, my reading of Levy's footnote out of this court states that when you choose a cause of action on a remedy, on a set of operative facts, then you're barred with the outcome of that, and that matters
but
litigation.
So you're saying, in my example, so you'd be barred from ever bringing that show cause again.
It doesn't sound like your example would have survived a demur because it was not right at the time. It would not have been
exactly, and that's exactly what the judge decided here. It's not right. We've got these various parameters. They have not been settled yet. These are factual questions that have to be determined, and I can't issue a show cause until that's done.
If the court would hold that the matter is not ripe for adjudication, that would be one thing. However, the court didn't hold the matter was not ripe for adjudication. It denied and dismissed the show cause on the facts after a hearing.
As what? Because what? Because the show cause was improper.
They have the...
Okay. I'm sorry. Let's just follow.
I was just trying to tease out the difference between this case and Lee versus Spoden. Lee versus Spoden, the case was decided in the show cause hearing on the merits. The court addressed the facts, decided the facts, ruled on the facts. This time the court says specific terms, requirements of when, where, and in what form of payment shall be performed is missing, so it is improper. It doesn't decide the case as to whether he owed the money, how much money. It just says there are not enough specific terms in here for me to hold someone in contempt.
Yes, ma'am. If it was addressed either as a show cause or as a contractual matter, the fact that the terms of the agreement are insufficient to finding with specificity how, when, or where, or if ever payments are due would still lead to the same conclusion of denial and dismissal. The fact they didn't enumerate in here that we don't understand this, we don't understand that, we don't understand the other,
there's lack of specificity for a remedy. The remedy is jail him or her if it doesn't get paid. That's a different question. It's the question you're being asked, which is the merits of the underlying contractual obligation.
But they didn't receive it. They chose the remedy of a show cause. They didn't choose the remedy of a contract action.
No, I'm with you with all of that. But I don't think the conversation we're having with you, we're not closing the loop, because if, in fact, the contract claim could have been asserted in the reinstated divorce proceeding the day after the dismissal of the contempt, and Lee versus Spoden implies strongly there is jurisdiction to hear that in the reinstated proceeding, then it can be asserted anywhere because it's the finality of the decision that precludes it from being asserted.
Yes, sir. I don't believe the trial court had the authority to alter the final divorce decree as they did in their order of September the 16, 2015, which added that language to keep that open. They had the authority to reopen the case under the rule to show cause, which opened it for the specific reason of we're going to litigate this show cause action on these allegations and to administratively change the date of the entry into a pre-marital agreement.
Well, the language that's in the order is the language straight out of the statute.
The language in the order is the language...
Right, the language that was added that you're talking about, and this cause shall remain on the docket of this court for the purposes of enforcing the terms of the agreement. That's straight out of 20-107.3K.
Yes, ma'am. And the attorney, Michael Ware, who represented my client at that time and argued this matter and was present at the last hearing in front of Judge Bonrock, to which this court has a transcript, and he was in the courtroom. He was there when they argued this September 16, 2015 motion. However, the amended divorce decree, which was entered, which kept this matter open, waived his signature, said the client was pro se, so there's an argument whether or not my client ever had knowledge of the actual...
Did anyone assign error to that?
I was not involved at that time. I'm not aware of any error being assigned to it. However, there was also no error assigned to the show cause. It was entered on October the 1st, 2015, and it's our position that that is the final order. And great minds can disagree.
Thank you very much. Your time has expired. Do you want to use your rebuttal?
Yes, sir.
All right.
As has been alluded to, the dismissal order of the show cause was a rational judgment by the trial court that a contempt didn't apply, but that the agreement that had already been incorporated by its divorce decree could remain to be enforced.
So why don't you raise the argument that even if the contempt, the show cause order was final, it was not on the merits, and therefore it could not be the basis for res judicata?
It's not a final order on the merits, and that's what the...
I'm saying even if it was. I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't think I fully understand your question.
Okay. My question is, as I read your brief, you did not make the argument that even if it were a final order, it would not, res judicata would not apply because it was not a final order on the merits of the claim.
And I thought through that, and frankly, as I was hearing comments from the bench, I was rethinking that. Frankly, my interpretation reading the Levy-Spodin opinion was that the show cause in this case, the analysis would be the same as the show cause in the Spodin case, because in Spodin, there was a term sheet, and while the person was held not in contempt, this court's opinion said that in order to find contempt, there would have had to have been an interpretation of the term sheet, whereas in the show cause case in this case, it would have required some interpretation of the agreement to get to the point saying it wasn't definitive enough, which is why I didn't bring up on the merits, because I think based on this court's opinion, Levy-Spodin, the analysis is too similar. However, Levy-Spodin, by specifying the requirement of a final judgment, that is why this case does not fall within the scope of that opinion, because it requires the rule of this court requires it, Levy-Spodin's opinion specifically requires it, and the divorce case remains pending. It wasn't a final order.
So could the judge in the reinstituted divorce proceeding after this case is over, this appeal is over, say, all right, well, I'll hear the contract claim. I'm not putting anyone in a contempt if I rule against the obligor, but I may issue an order awarding judgment.
I believe that it could, and it was brought up, well, that case has remained dormant, and as a practical matter, I got retained relatively at the last minute at the reconsideration stage. I didn't think it would be proper for me to go to the divorce court and proceed there when there was another trial court order saying that issue had been precluded. I felt like I was bound to honor that court's opinion until this court decided.
But under your theory, you could do that. Am I understanding
yes.
Your theory is right? It's not final. It still can be done there.
Correct. My theory is that it could proceed on the breach of contract claim. And in addition to that, because the divorce case has been reopened, frankly, equitable distribution could proceed just based on the terms of the premarital agreement that talks about being paid out of the marital assets. There are two avenues that I see to get to the merits of this case in terms of the contract, and one of them would be through the divorce case, but I also contend that the breach of contract claim is also a valid way of getting there. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. I understand we have a group of